Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us on Calvary, that you died for us and you saved us. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. Lord, we look forward to worshiping you and drawing close to you and hearing your message this morning. Lord, all this next week and the week after, pray that, Lord, you would bless during this week of prayer meetings and the week of the mission conference. We pray that, Lord, you would have your way. Pray that, Lord, you'd have your way this morning, that you'd use me as a mouthpiece.
Amen.
Lord, not to glorify me, but to edify your believers and your children. Pray that you'd have your way this morning, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'd like to look at some things that are a blessing. I hope they'll be a blessing to you this morning. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
When we got saved, we became a new creature. Such a fantastic thought. Old things are passed away.
Amen.
I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not the same person that used to walk the way I used to walk. Things are different. I didn't notice it all the first day. I didn't notice it all the change the first time it happened. I didn't become some fantastically different creature. My looks didn't change. My body didn't change. Everything didn't change in that respect on that first day. But for me, everything in life, everything in future, everything in hope, everything in eternity changed for me on the day that Jesus Christ saved my soul. All things became new. I became a new creature, not the old creature I was that was bound for hell and bound for condemnation and bound for the pit of hell for eternity. I became a new creature, created new in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, created unto glory and to sanctify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I became a creature that was made to be made in the image of Jesus Christ himself. I became a new creature. Not the old creature. All things became new. The old things passed away. I became a new creature. Such a fantastic thought.
Amen.
There's so many new things that we have in Christ Jesus. And this morning, I'd just like to look at a few of the new things that we have. Some of the things the Bible talks about being new. That new creature. That new man that we are in Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We became a new creature, and we are a new man. We have two natures in a conflict within ourselves. We have two natures that are in a war between us. We have the old man with his old desires and his old nature that wants to sin and wants to go the corrupt way and wants to go after the way of the devil and wants to go after the way of pleasure and lust and deceitfulness and all the things that are wrong. And we have a new man created in Christ Jesus, given to us. And God says, put off the old man.
Amen.
And put on the new.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says we were baptized, we were buried with him by baptism into his death, into the death of Jesus Christ, and that as he was raised from the dead, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
And that's what we have here in the new man. We're being made to walk in a new life, not the old life, not the old life of the lust and the corruption and the desires and the stealing and the theft and the sin and the fornication and everything else that we were in our old selves, but we've been made new, and we're to put on a new man, not live in the old man, to put him off, it says, and to put on the new man, like changing your clothes. And this is a decision we make on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, sometimes on a minute basis, day in and day out, hour by hour, we have to decide, I am going to walk in the new man.
Amen.
And not walk in the old. I'm going to put this old man off, and I'm going to put the new man on. We get up in the morning, and we take a shower, and we put on fresh clothes. We don't put on the old clothes because they stink, especially in this weather. But we put on the new clothes. Why? Because they're clean, they're fresh, they don't stink, they're not corrupt, they're not rank to the nostrils. And on the same token, in the same manner, when we get up every day, we need to put off the old man.
Amen.
And put on the new. Put on the new, that we might walk in righteousness and holiness before a living God. And we might have a walk that is well-pleasing and acceptable before God. Look what it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew the mind. Put a new mind in our body. Put a new mind in the way we think. Put a new mind on the way we look at all things. All things are become new. Why do we look at them as if they're still old? Put them on new. Look at them. Things are not the same. The things we used to enjoy, we can now look at in the light of the gospel, in the light of the Bible, and say, that's sin. That's ugly. It destroys. It corrupts. It will ruin my family. It will ruin my home. It will ruin my life. It will ruin my friends. Why look at it in the old way with the desire and with the joy? Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and look at it and say, I don't want that. I want Jesus. I want righteousness. I want holiness. I want to be clean. I want to be forgiven. I want to be walking in a new life where Jesus Christ is Lord and where things are given unto Him, where my life is holy and acceptable, sanctified, set apart, separated unto Jesus Christ. It says that you put on the new man, which after God is created, a new creature in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you see the difference? He said, put off the old man, put on the new. And he says, put off lying and speak honestly. Put off stealing and work. Put off envy and bitterness and wrath and malice, and put on tenderness, kind-heartedness, loving kindness. Amen. And be good with your brother. Be good with those that are around you. Be good with your neighbor. Put off the old man, and he tells you what to put off, and put on the new. Amen. Says, give not place unto the devil.
Right.
Don't give him room.
Amen.
Cut him out. Put him off. Amen. He is the old man. He is the one who is in charge of the old man. He was our old master. He was our old Lord. And it says, don't give him room. Don't give him one corner of your heart. Don't give him one portion of your heart. Take it all away from him and put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why brood? Why go with a grudge?
Yeah, right.
Why go around all your life angry at somebody because he did you dirty? You ever have a day ruined because somebody cut in front of you at an intersection? All they did was cut in front of you at an intersection. And you go around angry all day long, tense and mad because some dummy didn't know how to drive. And then you realize 3 hours later it was your fault.
Yeah.
Don't live that way. He said, put it on.
Amen.
Get rid of it. When you get up in the morning, put on a new man. Live in the new man. Just put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. One of the greatest reasons here, we're part of each other. We're a family. I noticed a couple of weeks ago when I was here, several of the messages dealt with, and in a roundabout way, dealt with dealing with one another. And I thought, we need to deal with one another as if we were family.
Amen.
Remember, we are brethren.
Amen.
We are members one of another. We are not just a bunch of people that have come together to hear some great speaker speak, especially not me. I'm no great speaker. But we are members one of another. We've come here as a family to be fed around the table of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To gather something from the food that we can get to live a spiritual life, to live in spiritual understanding, to have a spiritual growth that we might be fed spiritually. Members one of another, helping one another. It says, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Now I get tired so often of hearing people. They're always dragging somebody down.
Amen.
I don't care if it's true or not. What good does it do to drag somebody down?
Amen.
God says lift them up.
Amen.
Edify them. The purpose of having a meeting, the purpose of having open meetings in the church, the purpose of having preachers, the purpose of having ministers, the purpose of having people gather as Christians and work together is not to drag them down. It's to build them up.
Amen.
When you go and you talk with somebody, you see a new Christian or an old Christian or somebody, maybe they're in a little bit of trouble. Maybe they're walking wrong, or maybe they just don't see something you see. Don't go to them and drag them down. There's no reason to go with condemnation and with accusation and with everything to put them down. But go to them, brother, and say, I want to help you. Can I help you? Can I show you something better? Edify. Build up. Strengthen. Not destroy. Now there are some things to be destroyed. There are some things to be knocked down. There are some things that we have to get out of the way, but not each other.
Amen.
Put off the old man. There's always condemning. There's always putting down. There's always destroying and build up. It's something that, like you treat children a lot of times, or you deal with your brother, or you deal with your wife. Well, I guess wife is the best way to describe it in an example. When my wife does something wrong, I really get in trouble if I go to her in a bad attitude. I tell her, hey, you shouldn't have done that way. I get in trouble. She don't like me very much when I do that. And I bet your wife don't either. But if I go to her, now Donna, we shouldn't have done that way. We sit down and we talk. And we work it out. And we decide this was a better way to do it. And we discuss it back and forth and whatever. We are both edified. My marriage is edified. My family is edified. My whole family is edified. The church is even edified because my marriage is stronger. My children are stronger. My whole life is stronger because I went with a different type of an attitude. Put off the old man.
Amen.
Put on the new. Be ye kind-hearted one to another, forgiving one another.
Amen.
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is such a key thing in our Christian life. You know, Jesus was telling the disciples how to pray. He tells them to ask God about forgiveness of sins. He tells them, if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. What a thought. What a principle for life. We need to be forgiving of other people.
Amen.
As Christ was forgiving and is forgiving toward us. How big is the forgiveness of God toward you? Have you ever really considered it? What did He forgive you of?
Amen.
Have you ever counted everything you ever did? And how many times you did the same thing? Or how many times you're still doing it? Why can't we be that way? Why can't we put on the new man of Jesus Christ and live in this new man, forgiving everybody, everything, if they'll just come and ask, brother, forgive me.
Amen.
Forgive me. Even as God has Christ, for Christ's sake, has given you. Got a new life with the new man. We also have a new commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, I give you a new commandment. We had plenty of old commandments. If you've read the Old Testament, you know there were plenty of old commandments. The Ten Commandments and plenty more to go along with it. Sacrifices and offerings and certain things you had to do in certain days you could do them and certain things you couldn't do on certain things. There were plenty of old commandments to live certain ways, to have certain things work out in your life. And when you did a certain thing, you went to God or went to the priest and offered a certain sacrifice and things were taken care of. There were plenty of old commandments. We didn't get a bunch of new ones when Jesus came, but He did give us one. So that you love one another, even as I have loved you.
Amen.
Not the way I want to. Interesting thing, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Two verses down it says, be not wise in thine own eyes.
Yes, amen.
One thing we need to get in our minds is not to take it the way we always understand it. Not to look for the way I understand things, but what does God say? He says, as I have loved you, love each other. Love your brother. Love those that are around you. Love each other as I have loved you. How did He love us? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, He died for us.
Amen.
I think there's something even greater. He did die for us. And I think, I'm thankful He died for us. Don't get me wrong. But He lived for us. As He had loved the disciples, He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to lay down His life. That even unto this day, sinners might be saved and redeemed eternally from corruption and sin. But up until that point, what had He done? day in and day out, he had walked with those disciples. He had taught those disciples. He had discipled those disciples. He edified those disciples. He taught them the way they should go. He taught them how to preach. He taught them what they should preach. He worked with them. He was there with them when they had a problem. He was there to comfort them. When they had a need, he was there to supply the need. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick, he went in and he helped her. He did what he could. He gave of his life, not only to die, but the life he was living at the time, he gave unto his disciples that they might grow. As I have loved you, love one another.
Amen.
As Jesus loved me, I should love you. As Jesus loved his disciples, I should love you. We ought to be working towards and working with each other so that we might all be edified, that we might all be grown up, that we might all be better Christians, that we might all be able to do the service of the Lord, whatever it may be, to give our lives that brothers might grow, that brothers might be taught, edified, lifted up. That's how he gave his life. That's how he had loved them up to that point. He went to the cross. He did go to the cross and he died, and greater love hath no man than that he laid down his life for his friends is what he taught. But in laying down, he also lived it. But he laid down the life of his ambition, his desires, his goals, his dreams, his direction, his paths to walk a different path, that we might know how to live in this life, that we might know how to edify believers, that we might know how to preach, that we might have a message to preach, that we might have something to share with the world. He gave his life, literally gave it up to himself so that others might have the life that he wanted to give to them.
Amen.
And that's as we ought to love others. That's the new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. A new commandment give I unto you. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A lot of people take this and they get the idea that if everybody is mushy-mushy and hugging and kissing and all this all the time, then they must be Christians, or that's what they're looking for. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying you work together. Love is not always mush-mush. It's not emotion. Love is very often just a simple decision of the will. I will do this because I love you. I will stay here. I will love my wife. I will love my kids. I will do this for my kids. I will give up of me. I will give up of my time. I will give up of my desires and my ambitions because I love you. Because this is better for you. This is what you need. This is what you need to grow. I love because I choose to love, and not always because it's an emotion. There's a wild misconception of love in the world today. Love is not just emotion or desire. Love is an act of the will.
Amen.
God commands love. He commands it here. He commands husbands, love your wives.
Amen.
How can he command something if I don't have a choice in how to do it? If all it is something I feel or I react to. No, love is a decision. Love is something you decide to do. Love is something you make an act of the will, and you do it or you don't do it because that's what you want to do. He says, love one another. Give of yourselves as I have given of me. Give of yourselves to help that brother. Give of yourselves to disciple that person. Give of yourselves to teach them the gospel. Give of yourselves to teach them of God.
Oh, yeah.
Give of yourselves to teach them that they might know the way. Give of yourselves in every way possible, but love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. And if it takes all your time, I think there ought to be priorities. I don't think a man ought to take so much time discipling everybody that comes to church that he loses his whole family. There are priorities, but we ought to have this attitude. I love you, and if you need something, I'll help you get it. I'll help you find it. Not this thing where we've set up great big funds to take care of all the poor all the time. No, but we help each other, and we work with each other that the church might be strengthened, that the church might grow, that the church might be edified and built up one with another without being condemning or accusatory, but helping each other in love, building them up, love one another. As I have loved you. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, we have a new way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way,
amen,
which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We don't come to God as they came to God in the Old Testament. And it's a good thing we don't do it that way. We come to God through Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. It says we have boldness to enter into the holiest. What was the holiest? The holiest was where the high priest went once a year, with blood. And he put the blood on the mercy seat, and there he covered. And God accepted a sacrifice to cover sins for one more year. And year into year they covered sins, and year into year atonement was made. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he went into heaven with his own blood, the Bible says. And he walked into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And God forever covered the sins and the transgressions of those that come unto God by Jesus Christ. And we have a new way to God. Not a way of ordinances, not a way of commandments, not a way of sacrifices and sacrifices of blood, of bulls and of goats and of all different types of animals. But we have the sacrifice of Jesus, once offered to bear the sins of many, once offered only once forever. And by this, we have a new way to enter into the holiest, to obtain mercy, to seek help. We have a new way to God. Not a way of ordinances. So many people today still live in old traditions. They're still going to priests. They're still going to intercessors. They're still going to saints. They're still going to good works. They're still going to fancy ways. They're still trying to fulfill the law and still trying to fulfill regulations. And they don't have a new way to God. They've still got the same old way. They're trying to do it by their own works and by their own merits or what they've done or what they haven't done. But they haven't found the new way to Jesus. And we have a new way.
Amen.
A new way that was taken and sanctified and set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this new way takes us straight into the holiest. That says we have boldness to go by that new way. Now think about my children. If my children ran up to you and asked you for money, I would die. Die of embarrassment. You're not their father. You're not their parents. But they have boldness to come to me. They're always coming to me. Daddy, I want some money. Daddy, can I have some money? Just this morning, my son comes and asks me, he says, Daddy, can I have one of these video games you put on the TV? Or he wants one of these racetracks. It's always something. I don't think he asked anybody else in here for it. Maybe Grandpa. Why? Because he's my son. He has a different boldness to come to me with things he wants, with things he needs, than he does with you. Because he's my son. Because we were saved by Jesus Christ. Because we were cleansed by His blood. Because we were sanctified and made the children of God by what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We have a boldness to walk right into the Holy of Holies. We are able to walk right into the presence of God Almighty and lay our petitions at His feet. Lay our needs at His feet and say, Lord, I need these things. Or Lord, I want these things. Or Lord, would You bless me here? We don't have to wrestle with angels all the time. We don't have to do all these other things. Just as children walk into the presence of their Father, just as children of the King walk into the presence of the King Himself, we as children of God can walk.
Amen.
And step right into the Holy of Holies with Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, one fantastic thing about being this new creature, about living in the new man, about having this new life and this newness of life that we have, I can go boldly to God. Lord, I need some help.
Amen.
Lord, I need some mercy. Oh, Lord, I need some encouragement. I need some blessing. I need something from You today. And it's not something where I come timidly with a sacrifice in one hand and offerings in the other hand and good works behind me and much study or whatever else or a priest or something else interceding before me. I don't need a great big train and many offerings to bring to God. I come boldly before God saying, help me, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because I have a new and living way in Jesus Christ, not the old way. Because I'm a new creature, created in Christ Jesus unto holiness and righteousness and good works and to do what He wants me to do. I'm a new creature, and this new creature is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, and I can walk in boldly to my Father and seek what I need, seek help. All this we have, all this was came, it comes with the New Testament. When Jesus, reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus gave His disciples the first Last Supper, the first Lord's Supper, if you will. He told them when He handed them the cup, this is the blood of the New Testament. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. After the same manner also He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. We have a New Testament. The new man, the new creature, living in a new life with a new man. Living and coming to God in a new way has a new testament. We don't have the old covenant that if you keep this law and you abide by this ordinance and you live by this way and you don't do this on the Sabbath day and you guard all the Ten Commandments and you do everything you're supposed to do and you offer the sacrifices and you keep the feast and you do all this, I'll send you rain in due season. I'll give you prosperity. I'll protect your nation and everything else. And when it's all over, no, we have a new testament. We have a new covenant with Jesus Christ. Where Jesus Christ paid for sins once for all on the cross of Calvary, and sin is taken care of, and our lives are made eternal. We have an eternal life with Jesus Christ, all because Jesus, when he died on the cross, the testator died, and the testator made a new covenant before he died, and we're under the new will. We're under the new covenant, sealed in blood, sealed with the death of Jesus Christ, and we now live under a new covenant, not the old covenant of the Old Testament. That's why we have two testaments in the Bible. One's called the New Testament, one's called an Old Testament. One was the Old Testament that God gave to the Jews, and the one under which they lived and they struggled and they worked for years and years, and Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the Old Covenant, he fulfilled the Old Testament, he fulfilled all righteousness, he fulfilled the law, and when he died, he made a new covenant, and he said to us that this new covenant was ours, and we live in a new life. A new testament in Jesus Christ. That we don't have to go by old works, dead works, to find peace with God. But we come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we have a testament. All this ought to give us a new song.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 40 and verse 3. The 40th Psalm and verse 3. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. You know, one thing, if we ever realize, if we ever go back and think about what Jesus saved us from, not only the future that he saved us from, but the life we were living. It was horrible in many ways, and sometimes we were young, or sometimes we were inconsiderate, sometimes we didn't think about the drudgery, the misery, and the wretchedness we lived in. But he brought us up out of an horrible pit.
Amen.
He brought us up out of the miry clay. He made us, and he put our feet on a rock. He established our goings, and he put a new song in our heart.
Amen.
And all of us here who are saved, all of us who know Jesus Christ in life, all of us who know him in the salvation and pure pardon of sin, the free forgiveness that Jesus gave us because he died on the cross, ought to have a new song, even praise
Amen.
To our God.
Amen.
One thing a Christian should never be without is praise.
Amen.
It doesn't say here because he gave me a new car. It doesn't say here because he made my house payment. It doesn't say here because my children are healthy. It doesn't say here because I have food on my table. It doesn't say here all the things are going good for me. It doesn't say because my light bill was paid, or I have air conditioning, or I live in America, or I'm one of the freest men in the world, or I can preach the gospel there, or I can preach the gospel here. It doesn't give me all those things, but it says he saved me. He took me up out of a horrible pit. He established my goings. He put my feet on a rock, and for this I should have praise.
Amen.
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 Yes.
If you're saved here today, there should never be a day without praise.
Yes. Amen.
There should never be a day that you
Amen.
Cannot praise God Almighty.
Yes, right.
There should never be a day that you can live and not have joy in your heart because of what Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen.
Even praise unto our God. What has he done for you? You know what? I'm amazed at me often. I have so much. And I find days when I find it hard to pray. Why is that? I got the old man. That old man. The new man has a song.
Amen.
He has a new song.
Amen.
He's praising God for salvation.
Amen.
He's rejoicing in Jesus Christ. He's got something to live for. He's got something to glory for. He's got a message to tell other people. He's got a song he can sing when everything is going wrong. When he's in the dungeon, when he's in the prison, when they're torturing him for his faith, he can sing praise unto his God
Amen.
Because he's saved.
Amen.
He's been brought up out of a horrible pit.
Amen.
Hallelujah for Jesus.
Amen.
He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. We need to praise more. We need to sing and lift up our voices unto God more. We need to have a rejoicing spirit. We need to have a spirit of a person, a renewed mind that always wants to sing praise to Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe I don't always have the right words to witness to somebody. Maybe I can't always explain the things that they need to understand. Maybe I can't explain salvation or what Jesus Christ did, but I can always say praise Jesus for what he did for me.
Amen.
He saved me from hell. He saved my soul from destruction. He took me up out of an horrible pit. He's established my goings. He put my feet upon a rock, and I can praise him. I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
Thankful for what he did for me. Praise unto our God. Many shall see it. I think if we lived a different life, a life of praise in the new man, that new creature singing praise unto our God day in and day out. Not a thing where you're always having to push your songs down somebody's throat. Not a thing where you always necessarily have to be called the preacher because you're always pushing your religion down their throat. But have you ever thought about just being happy because God did something for you? I mean, there's enough in this nation to be thankful for.
That's right.
Why can't we just be thankful on the same token, on the same realm, on the same day? Jesus saved my soul. And today if I die, I'm not going to hell.
Thank you.
Even if it wasn't my fault at the intersection, if the guy would have killed me, I'm going straight to heaven. Be happy. Rejoice in Jesus because he's done so much for you. He's done so much for you. There's another new song in Revelation chapter 5. Everything I've talked about so far has been from the life we live right now. But there's some new things coming.
Amen.
There's some new things that we haven't experienced yet. It says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We sing that song very often nowadays, and I'm glad we sing it. Jesus Christ is worthy. He's worthy to take the book. He's worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all honor. Why? Why? Because he gave me a good car? No. Because I have a good home? Because I have good family, good friends, good health? No. He redeemed me. He's redeemed me. He saved my soul. He redeemed me from corruption. He reconciled me to God. He gave me peace with the Almighty Creator. He gave me a new song. He redeemed me by his blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And one day, my friend, heaven's going to ring with this song. All heaven's going to ring. We're going to sing, raise our voices, and we're going to sing, Jesus Christ is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Look in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying.
Amen.
Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You ever get tired of this world?
I do.
I don't know about you, but I get awful tired of this world. There's a new world coming.
Amen.
There's a new heaven coming. It says the earth and heaven are going to flee away when God Almighty sits on the throne. When God Almighty comes in judgment, heaven and earth are going to flee. But he's going to make a new one. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where things aren't rotten anymore, where there is no more curse, where things are not, where there is no sorrow, nor death, nor dying, nor tears, nor pain, nor wounds, nor war, nor all this other good stuff. There will be a new earth. There's going to be a new king in the new earth and the new heaven.
Yeah.
He's going to reign in the new capital, the new Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is going to build his throne, put his throne in the greatest city this world has ever seen, a city greater than their imaginations, a city about 1,500 miles one direction, 1,500 miles the other direction, in a big square, and 1,500 miles high. And in the center of that city, I believe, there's going to be a throne. There's going to be a courtroom, a palace, like you've never seen, like you've never imagined. And in the throne is going to sit the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, Almighty God. He's going to sit there, and that's going to be our place. We're going to be there with him. And that new capital. He says, I'm going to make all things new.
Amen.
Everything that bugs us today won't bug us anymore.
That's right.
Now, a lot of things we find in this life aren't the way we want them. A lot of things we find in this life are not the way we would have made them. A lot of things in this life are a bother and a curse sometimes, and we really don't like having things the way we find them. Depression, tribulation, the car breaks down, or even sometimes things that are really serious. Persecution, being tortured for what you believe. People being fed to lions. People being fed to having their kids killed and maimed and all sorts of things happen just because they believed in God. But all things will be new.
Amen.
You know, you'll be able to let your children go play with the lions in that day. They won't kill them. You'll be able to let your children play with the snakes. I hope there won't be any. But it won't matter. All things will be new. Things will be different because God will make them different. They won't have the curse. They won't have the corruption. They won't have the sin. They won't have the things that have made them all bad all this time. All things will be new. with a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new king, a new life, a new place to live it all, and all things new. All things. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
We thank you for the newness we have in you. We thank you for the love that you bestowed upon us. Pray that you'd bless us today. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.